It's our 16th anniversary. Next step number 794, June 18, 2024, begins right now.
Hi, this is Susie from Any Shoes Ministries. Welcome to another episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Here, Father Vazgen provides a distinct and consistent voice for one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, and applies it to our life today. Armadoxy! It's a way of life. And no, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Did we ever think that 16 years later, we would say, welcome to the next step? 16 years ago today, we started the next step with a prayer and a hope that we'd get through that first session. We were at the St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, sitting in the office there, which we had converted into a little studio, and we put together the first next step. And in fact, we did it on such a primitive machine that the meltdown to an MP3 file took about 3 or 4 hours. I remember that day we concluded the next step, and then it was Susie and myself. We took a walk around the block and with the school children all around us, you know, at the youth center, and we came back into the office, and I don't think it had moved more than a couple inches. You know, it was the old kind of computer screen that had this like countdown of how long it would take to melt down this file to an MP3. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it took about 3 hours. We went back, came back into the office, checked on it, went back for a walk, walked, and finally it was done, and we published on June 18th, 2008, our first next step. And it was pretty exciting because, you know, it was a time when you had to define what a podcast was. I mean, people understand it. We take it for granted. It's a podcast. But in that time, it was a very unique thing. There weren't that many. In fact, and that helped us propel it because there weren't that many. I remember we started it in June, and there we were that November when Apple on their iTunes platform was looking for a Thanksgiving show to feature, and there we were, and we were on the Apple iTunes, the featured podcast, which all of a sudden, boom, we got, you know, thousands of listeners all of a sudden, and thousands, it wasn't the millions yet, but we went to conferences, very, very small groups of people. I remember there was one of the first conferences I went to was out in Pomona, and there was a priest there, Father Roderick. I believe he was from the Netherlands, and he was a podcaster. He had a show, if I'm not mistaken, it was called The Daily Breakfast. And I think he's still around. Yeah, he's still around. I haven't checked him out in a while, but, you know, he was an inspiration because he was doing it, and I realized, hey, there must be an audience for that. It kind of got me excited about it. Okay, so we had the audience. Now, how do you put this all together? Well, enter Susie. Susie was coming around the Youth Ministry Center at that time, and she just had a natural talent for working with computers, which was very impressive. Coming from Silicon Valley and being with computer professionals for the formative years of my ministry, those first 15 years in Silicon Valley. And then coming here, it was kind of like a desert when it came to technology in Southern California. And I met Susie, a librarian by profession, who wasn't afraid of computers and was able to actually program and put together some instructions, put together a web page. And on the, lo and behold, the next thing we knew, we had a podcast that was delivered to the different podcasting companies. There were no companies that were doing it, actually, at that time. Everything was a freebie, and she figured out how to do the RSS feed. And, you know, it was for many years, up until recently, I think, we were just riding the wave. And that was because of the talents that Susie brought to the floor. And, you know, we started the next step. It was the next step. And, you know, it kind of begs the question, doesn't it? 16 years later, we're asking, okay, you took a next step for 16 years. Haven't you gotten there yet? Well, you have a right to ask that, but it was never a journey that we figured we would end. It was just a journey that was, it was pleasant to be on, and it still is. I've shared with you so many joys, so many tragedies. I've shared with you thoughts. It's been cathartic in many ways, cathartic for me on a personal level, on a national level, not only as an Armenian with what's been going on over the last 16 years, but internationally too. What's been going on in the world. We covered so many things. We had so many interviews with different people. And all of this gave birth to the new chapter that we have, which is Epostle. So Epostle started off in the year 2000. That was a grant that we had gotten by a company back east. I want to say Japonica Partners, that's what it was. And they had given us a small grant to broadcast the Divine Liturgy. And we did that with couplers. Believe it or not, couplers before there were modems, readily available. We had these couplers and we did a broadcast of the Divine Liturgy in audio only. That was in the year 2000. It was Easter 2000. And I remember the date. It was April 23rd, Easter 2000. And we did it. It was pretty wild. Pretty wild that we were able to pull that off. And there, the word apostle was born. We were apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. And when we started doing the In His Shoes ministry in 2003, apostle became the voice of that ministry. We were doing websites with about In His Shoes, and that's where Susie first came in. She was working the websites. And then we got to a point where we said, okay, let's podcast. And it was so primitive, and so people just didn't know about podcasts, so much so that the way we would promote it, yes, there was the RSS feed, and it would go out, podcatchers, definitely, you'd be able to pick it up from here and there. But how did we promote it? CDs! Had a wonderful young man named Steve Bedrosian who saw the value of this, and he bought us a CD duplicator at the time. And we got this CD duplicator, and every week we would publish the next step. It would go out on the internet. It would be in the podcatchers. It would be a podcast. But we also simultaneously recorded CDs. We would make one, and we had a wonderful crew of people at the church. I remember at Upsig, a dear lady who would come and just put those CDs. If I remember right, it was a machine that did six at a time. So you would put a master in there, and I think it was a one-minute process. In 1 minute, it would do sixicate. You'd get six identical copies, and then we'd package them in. And this is where we started growing. And it was Susan, my wife Susan, with the dream of, you know, what we can do. Anush, my sister, got involved in it to start making her own podcast. We had Maria, who was already a part of the team. And you know, get together and stuff these envelopes and send them out. And every Sunday after the Divine Liturgy, we would actually pass them out. We'd pass them out at stores. And there was a big market for them, these CDs, the Next Step CDs. Yes, and if you have one, I'd love to take a picture and send it to me. I have one. I think I have one somewhere. Every so often I run across it when I go through some boxes of old paraphernalia and stuff. There it is. There's the CD, The Next Step. But all that was the fun part. The difficult part in this was realizing that we were a voice crying out in the wilderness, realizing that we were a voice that needed to be heard and wasn't being heard. Many times I have a jealousy, and I say this in a good sense, to see other ministries and the way people were reacting to them. And, you know, I think it's very easy to blame the victims when it comes to church. In other words, people just don't come. You can't blame people if you're not providing a product. And in our heyday, it was right around that time, 2008 to 2016, were our big years at the Youth Ministry Center. It was just people all over the place. We were providing a service. We were providing a message. It was out there. And it was, I can't tell you that there was any Sundays that there would be room in the church. It was always a standing room only situation. And feel very blessed. I feel very blessed to have led that church, that community during that time. And I've shared this many times, and I don't hesitate to share it more often and never deny the impact of Dr. Deacon Harar Dekmejian on the ministry. It was really a joint venture between the two of us in the early formative years of that ministry. Many times we'd end up at Marie Callender's. It was like a little coffee shop down the street, and just talking about where this ministry is headed, where it's going. And, you know, in Glendale, I want you to know, when we started this ministry, it was a very rough, rough time. There were Armenian gangs. They were operating within the schools. In fact, so great were the gang element that when we came there, imagine this, an Armenian church right across the street from a high school, public high school, where the principal of that high school welcomed me, not only welcomed me as the priest, but invited me to go on the senior outing. It was at Catalina Island, just off the coast of the Southern California coast. And we went for 2-3 nights with a group of, I think they were high school seniors or maybe juniors. And we went and we talked. And you know, it was just a beautiful time because there was such a need and you realize the importance of spirituality. So to come to that question of, are you getting to the next step? You've taken these next steps. Have you gotten to your destination? No, I think you're constantly going towards that destination. It's not about just being there. It's not about Bible. This is a basic what was the acronym? Bible, basic instruction before leaving Earth. Yeah, that's what somebody had defined it as, you know. And I felt like, how sad, you know. You're not living to get to be over with this life. That's not what Christianity is about. It's not about winding it up. I've shared with you many times the influence of Jethro Tull on my life, Ian Anderson, just the theology that came out during the early 70s, Jesus Christ Superstar. If you saw that movie I think it was last year, it was with the guy that is in Chosen and Kelsey Grammer. It was called, it was something about the Jesus movement or the Jesus revolution. Take a look at that. I lived through that. And very, very influential in my life. And it kind of shaped me where I am. And I realized that life is not something that you live for the sole purpose of getting to someplace else. In fact, it's very self-serving. If I'm going to live my life for the sole reason of going to heaven or to be in a better place, that's too self-serving. No, your life is to be given, to be shared, sacrificial. It's not about getting into places. It's about letting God be God and you being human and taking advantage, pushing the envelope of your humanity. Throughout the Gospels, you read that Jesus is showing us the way of life here on earth. He ushered in the kingdom of heaven is at hand, said John the Baptist, and there was the Son of God being baptized, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is right now. It's happening right now. You know that parable that Jesus says about the pearl, a merchant who is seeking the kingdom of heaven. It's like a merchant who is searching a pearl of great value, and when he finds it, he sells everything that he has so that he can acquire that pearl. And I think this all came together. It came to a head in 2014 when I went to Armenia for my with a pilgrimage. I took a small group of people. It was called the Pilgrimage to Both Sides of Ararat. We went for 3 weeks, 2 weeks in eastern Armenia, 1 week in western Armenia. And when I came back, I shared it with you. In fact, I'll put it on the show notes today. I found the pearl. I found the pearl, and it was something that I knew existed. That first year, that first episode of The Next Step that we did, and by the way, every episode of The Next Step is on Epostle. That first one is the one that I'll tell you not to listen to. The content is, I'll stand by it, but the quality, oh, we were hurting that day. We didn't realize what we had. We were trying on an old Macintosh. By the way, by episode number two, we had already developed a better system, better microphones. And I think it was by episode number 10 or 15, we finally got over that hang-up of having a three-hour wait to melt this when we found a program called Mixcraft. And I remember we found it, and I asked Susie, please purchase this. And she called up the company, and the guy who had developed it was a young kid. His mother answered the phone. That's how primitive our times were. And she answered the phone, and we ordered that package, that software package. And just FYI, through the years, I've upgraded it, I've kept it, and I still use it. It's called Mixcraft, and it's a wonderful, wonderful package. And it got us the MP3 files in a fraction of the time we were waiting for. So, you know, we had fun with this. But along with the fun, there was always this important message that we were trying to get across, that Christianity, that religion, is not about some future time. It's about right now. It's about Jesus Christ coming into this world with the message, peace on earth, goodwill towards one another. And that's how simple it is. It's not complicated. We have a way of complicating it. And so through the years, we've been trying to do this. Now, this year, or 2 years ago, actually, we were very, very fortunate when a man named Eric Israelian approached us, and he said, I want to be supportive of Epostle. And we launched Epostle.net as a ministry. So right now, In His Shoes is under Epostle, but the Epostle is now the umbrella that is doing this evangelical work throughout the world. And we're just excited that people are tuning in. This past week, we hit some new records. We hit over 20,000 people coming to the website, here's the remarkable part. These are people that 68% of that number are just coming to the website. They weren't brought in, you know. It's not like they went on social media and tapped a link or anything. They've been finding it. It's word of mouth. It's been organic growth. And we're very, very excited with those numbers. And we've been talking about it quite a bit. in the last few weeks. If you haven't had a chance to visit epostle.net lately, please do. And also our daily messages. You know, I've told you several times that these next steps are cathartic. And sometimes it's very easy to let go, to say, let me not do it. Let me not do a daily message. Maybe let me go into the reservoir and find something from the old ones. And, you know, let me be honest, if we need to, we will do that. But I find it cathartic to be able to sit in front of a microphone and share with you some of the thoughts that should be plaguing us as human beings, and especially as Christians, and even more especially for me as an Armenian Christian, one who has a history of difficulties, of crucifixions, to be able to point to resurrections, not only because Jesus did it, but because his promise has affected me and affected others in my community. Now, that first time that we got together, right on that first next step, I had decided that I wanted music to be part of this. And I think through the years, we've had some fun with music too. I've always had a song of the day. Now, that first one was very important to me, and I wanted to set the pace. And you know what? I'm going to do it today. That's what the song of the day. I always felt like we can talk a lot, but if we have a song right in the middle, gives people time to catch their breath, and it also gives them a little bit of time to digest what's being said. We used to have a beautiful section early on in the game called Bubbles, Ani's Bubble. I have a beautiful niece who's just bubbly personality, Ani, and she did a little section called Ani's Bubbles, and it was about these bits of faith that float like those little soap bubbles. Throughout the years, we had other small little components to it. I remember Dr. Harach Chilingirian had a section about the global environment, about what's going on. And, you know, it's been a variety show in many ways. It's been a show that I never wanted to make it into a short show. People say, you know, there's no market for a long show. You know, I beg to differ. There's people who want the longer show. There are so many of you that listen to The Next Step, and I'm thankful. I'm happy for that. I'm glad you want to listen and you're finding value in this next step. So with that, I'm going to play the original first Next Step, the song that we played. It was called Chorurt Chorin, and it was by Lucine Zakarian. This was a recording from the 1970s. She was the Armenian Nightingale, a beautiful lady that I had the good fortune of seeing. Didn't know her when I was already in Cupertino when she came to L.A., and my mother got to know her. But I did enjoy her voice every Sunday. She would sing at Holy Etch Miadzin. And when we were students, we would be assigned to different churches on Sundays as seminarians, usually inside the town of Etch Miadzin. And after church services at one of the local churches, we'd run back to Etch Miadzin to hear her sing. And then we'd take the bus with her all the way back to Yerevan. And she was, at that time, an icon, unapproachable. So, but we'd know that we were in the bus with Lucine Zakarian. Here is Chorurt Chorin, Mystery Deep, Inscrutable, Without Beginning, Lucine Zakarian. Thank you. Lucine Zakarian with the Yerevan Symphony, the Armenian State Symphony. Chorchorin, mystery deep, inscrutable, without beginning. It's the way that we begin the Divine Liturgy every Sunday. It sets the tone for the Divine Liturgy. It is not an opera, it is a celebration, but it is a connection with something greater than ourselves. It's a connection with the divine. And this is what sometimes we often forget when we try to simplify our services, that really it's not about simplification as much as it is about connection. Connecting with the divine, connecting with something greater than yourself. Remember, God is greater than you. You cannot define God. People who sit and say, God is this, God is that. If you've defined God, he's no longer God, right? It's beyond that. There is a mystery to it. It's as simple as when you fall in love and the feelings that you have. It's as simple as seeing a newborn child and not having the words to express what you're feeling. It's as simple as looking at a beautiful landscape, a seascape, and being in awe at the wonders, or the heavenly bodies, the stars. I mean, all around us, God is talking to us. And it is a mystical expression by which he communicates. Tap into that. That's what Chorchorin, that's what this hymn is all about. And I hope you felt it as she was singing it in a way that only she could, and in the melody. And the words, I probably figured that you don't know. If I can, I'll try to put the translation so you'll get the words. The melody is from Gomidas Vartabed. Okay. I'm going to now share with you some wild stuff, okay? We talked about what we were doing in the past. Now we're going to talk about what we're doing now, where we're going, okay? Okay, we are back. Second half. Second half, and we'll just start looking forward in the second half. I shared with you where we came from, what these 16 years have been about, concisely, obviously, but let's talk about where we're going. And the way this discussion began, actually, was a few days ago. We have now a wonderful team of Apostolites. This is Apostles, new group, team members. And we get together once a week. We discuss many issues, including issues that are pertinent to the church. In other words, not necessarily about the mechanics of Apostle, but about its influence on the church and upon the community, upon the world. Why not? Yeah. Because, you know, it's easy in something like Apostle for us to get hung up with the mechanics of it. You know, how do we get a podcast out? How do we increase numbers? How do we put out a newsletter? How do we communicate with the people that are supporters and so on and so on? And we lose sight that, well, we have an intention. We have a mission here. There's a reason why we are doing this. There's a reason we put together a podcast. It's to take the next step, right? So we were discussing this at our last meeting a couple days ago. And I was sharing with them some of the difficulties that we have as a church, because we are scared to go beyond the limits. And because we are inside of this westernized world where everything around us is being discussed in terms of black and white, it's difficult to find that gray region. And that gray region is not a wishy-washy region, but an actual color itself. Gray is a color. It's not black, it's not white, but it is that fine area that understands the nature of discussion, that understands the nature of being inside of a community. Not everything is black and white. And, you know, a lot of times many churches, what they do is they pick up the stuff that's available to them. They'll go to a local Bible store and they'll get the curriculums, or they'll get the books from there, which is okay, I guess, to a certain point. But it's not necessarily Armenian Orthodoxy or Armenian Church. And I hope that if you've been listening to The Next Step, or you've been listening to our daily messages, you know what I'm talking about. There is something which we call Armedoxy, which is that Armenian Church message, but applicable for the day. In other words, I'll look at somebody's newsletter, and thank God that, you know, Archbishop Shnork Kalustyan of blessed memory, that he wrote this book in 1950 called Saints and Sacraments. Thank God that he did that, because you cannot believe how many churches just cut and paste articles from this small little book, because first of all, it's written by an archbishop. Second of all, it's written in English, and it's very easily digestible, and you take it, and there's nothing wrong with it, except that it doesn't speak to the times. You have the same message. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. Yes, agree that. But how do you get that message out to people? A simple thing, for instance, Jesus said, I thought about it again today. Jesus says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. What does that mean? How do you interpret that for today? And today I thought of it. I went to a doctor's appointment, which was on the fourth floor, and I was the first person on the elevator. And by the time we got to the fourth floor, there were so many people inside. Yes, hospital with COVID, still a threat, right? Yes, we were in that elevator. And when we got to the fourth floor, the people who came in last exited first. And me, who was the first person in the elevator, exited last. So look at that. There is a metaphor there. We can use this elevator as a metaphor for first and last. And don't think that Jesus would not have done that. Jesus, if he was standing here today with all of the difficulties that are happening in the world, if he was standing in Russia talking about the Good Samaritan, it would be named the Good Ukrainian. And he would talk about how the Russian priest passed by the guy that got beaten up, but it was a Ukrainian who came and helped him. And if he was standing in Ukraine and sharing the message of the Good Samaritan, it wouldn't be called the Good Samaritan. It would be called the Good Russian. And he would talk about somebody getting beaten up, and it was the Russian who came and saved him. And the same holds true if he were in Gaza right now. He would be talking to the people about the good Jew, who despite everything that the Jews were doing to the Palestinians, it was the Jewish man who knelt down and helped him. And if he was standing in Jerusalem, he'd talk about the good Palestinian. In other words, Jesus made it relevant and a message that was applicable to the time, that people could understand in their environment with the people around them. You cannot talk to somebody about the Good Samaritan. You don't need the extras of explaining who the Samaritans were, how they interacted with them. It was suffice it to say that they were not liked. They were the people that you would not expect to do God's will. And the Jews who thought that they were the chosen people, they were the ones who God favored, and they were looking down their noses at the Samaritans, but it was the Samaritan who helped them out. The same way that the Ukrainians might look down their noses at the Russians to the Ukrainians, the Palestinians to the Jews, or the Artsakhis may look down towards against the Turks, the Azeris, and vice versa. You get the idea, right? You take that same message and you make it applicable for today, so you don't lose the people in the translation. And so one of our members at that board meeting, new talent, Susanna. I highly recommend you listen to her podcast on Epostle called The Basement Tapes. Very, very nicely done. Susanna, she said, well, Deadhead, if you were running it, how would you make it different if you were running a church? And, you know, God bless her. She's a young girl. She's never been a part of my congregation. And right now, for the last 6-7 years, I've been doing these programs for the diocese. So I've been outside of the parish life. So people don't have that experience with me, the younger generation. So I went ahead and I explained what we did do, how we did do it. And so put out there, like, what would you do differently? That's the question I'm going to answer for you right now. What are we going to do? What if given the opportunity to do it yourself, what would you do? Well, thank God, I've been given that opportunity. The last 16 years, we've been doing it. And tomorrow we start year 17. And this is what we're going to do. No different than what we've done before. It's to herald the message that we've been called to preach. When Jesus was baptized and he began his ministry, he went into the synagogue and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's it. Now, this is what Jesus was commissioned to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. That's why we call him the Christ. He is the anointed one. Now, when he left us the church. And the church has apostolic authority. Jesus gave that authority to the apostles. The apostles, in turn, handed it down to us. And so the church is understood as the body of Christ, scripturally and throughout the history of the church. The body of Christ is assigned to do the work that Jesus Christ has commissioned it to do. And what is that work? It's the work that he was anointed to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. There's actually, I'm reading this from the New Revised Standard. There's actually a passage that is missing out of this. It is to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, which is in the original King James and is in the Armenian text. The brokenhearted. Imagine that. That's what we are commissioned to do as a church. And so why aren't we doing that? Well, because we get hung up on a lot of the history. That it's just like what I was saying about Apostle. We get hung up on the mechanics and we forget that we have something bigger to do. And so if it was left to me, what would I do differently within these churches? Is I'd become the church. And, you know, I can't tell you that this is completely my own thoughts, but I've been inspired so much by the writings of Martin Luther King Jr., especially his letter from Birmingham Jail, in which he challenges the church leadership. Like, you know, Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus was an extremist. He was an extremist for love. Jesus proclaimed, "Love your enemies." And he challenged the people, "Can we love the enemies?" And he says, there's a rather humorous portion in there too. He says, "I'm glad Jesus didn't say like your enemies, because I can't like somebody that's ready to kill my children. But I could love them because I understand that God loves us. despite our frailties, despite our disobedience, despite our sinful nature, God loves us. And so that ultimate love now can be transferred to us, for us to understand one another. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm not going to make, it's nothing that I could share with you in a few minutes. It's part of this whole ministry that we began with the Next Step back in 2008. And now we're ready to begin the 17th year. And I challenge you, listen to some of the material we have. I'm very, very excited because within the next few months, you're going to be seeing some publications coming out from us. You're going to be seeing a broader selection of venues from which you can experience this armadoxy, or what in under current language we would say the OG Christianity. Yeah, it is. It's the original Christianity, where Jesus came with a simple message: peace on earth, goodwill towards one another. Can we do it? Yeah, it is possible. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said it. And that's how simple it is. Yeah, I know. We have a way of complicating things, right? But it's simple. It's a simple message. And love, you know, that's it's complicated. But it's also simple. Very, very simple. You love. Do it. Do it. That's it, right? And so, you know, when you look at it, it's in that simplicity, in the simpleness of that message, that we're going to find the beauty of this ministry. And it's a beauty that I've come to enjoy and I've come to treasure and value. It is that pearl that you sell everything you have so you can acquire it, the kingdom of God. And we found that it's all around us. You know, it's the second time I've alluded to that. Please check out the show notes. Check out my writing from 2014. I Found the Pearl. I think that was the name of it. We'll get it up on the show notes. But bottom line, you know, it's in that simplicity that we're going to be making making this ministry what it can be, actualizing it. And so with that, here's to year number 17 as we move forward. I look forward to it, and I want to thank you all for allowing me to do this and be with you. I am humbled by your generosity and by your love and your support. God bless you all. Ah, and my piano player. We acquired the piano player sometime in our 8th or 9th season. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Okay, thank you, Susie, and thank you, all of you. God bless you all for all the love and your support. God bless you and your families. You know, I ask you a simple favor. Keep us in your prayers, and I promise you I keep you in my prayers. Okay, quick reminder, check out epostle.net where you'll find daily podcasts. You'll find all kinds of stuff, including the archives to the Next Step. On behalf of my wonderful producer who's ready to do, are you ready for year number 17? Susie and myself, this is Father Vazgen. We look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanded universe.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.